Today's topic is the holy name of Krishna, which we've just been chanting. So, do all of you know this mantra, or some of you don't know it? Who doesn't know it? Raise your hand. Let me see who doesn't know this. Hare Krishna. Anybody, if you don't know it, we have some cards for you, so you can follow along. Because sometimes we'll be just saying the mantra, in case you don't know. Everybody knows it. Oh, wonderful. Okay. No problem. This sound is a transcendental sound. Hare Krishna. The sound is coming from the spiritual world. Now there you have an idea. There's a picture back here. We are on the Earth planet, way over there. I think is that the Earth planet in that picture, or is it the moon? Looks more like the Earth planet to me. Okay. Anyway. So we are here. We are on this Earth planet right here. But this sound is coming from somewhere much, much farther away. Now beyond this planet, there are some heavenly planets. And those planets, you can live for a long, long time without any disease or old age. But you do have to die, that's the problem. The sound is not coming from those planets. If you're very good in this life, if you do good things, you can go to those planets. Now, if you're a yogi, and you get some mystic powers, you can go even higher. There's some more higher planets than that. And in those planets, people meditate. They can travel in their bodies anywhere they like, all over the universe, without any airplanes. These are mystic powers. But the Hare Krishna mantra is not coming from those planets. It's even higher than that. Now, if you go beyond this whole material world, you come to the Brahman, or the big white light. But this Hare Krishna mantra is not even coming from theirs. It's beyond this white light. And if you go into the white light a little bit further, you'll find some spiritual planets. Now, these are called Vaikunthas. But this Hare Krishna mantra is it's coming from an even higher place than these planets. It's coming from Goloka Vrindavan. Golokera Emadan Harinam Sankirtan. It's a spiritual sound. So this sound is coming from a very far, far off place, a spiritual world. Beyond this, all these material planets, beyond heaven, beyond the white light, way at the topmost planet in the spiritual world from Krishna himself. So in this world we have some experience of radio or TV. We can hear the sound from a very far off place. It's coming from another place on this planet, in this place here, even from another country it may be coming. But it's on this earth, and we can get that sound. And scientists are trying to get sounds or radio waves from other planets in this universe. Whether or not they're successful, I don't know. I mean, maybe some of you are scientists who can let me know if they've succeeded or not. But this sound is even further away than all of these material sounds, coming from the spiritual world. It is transcendental. So because it's coming from a higher plane, a higher dimension, the highest dimension, the spiritual dimension, which we cannot see now, therefore it has spiritual power. It has the power to enter our heart and dissolve all the material things in our mind and in our hearts. It has that power. It has the power to change, transform this whole material world into the spiritual world. Now, what is the difference between this world and that world? The difference is that here people suffer, they get old, they get diseased, they die. They fight a lot also, especially in this age of Kali. It's a lot of fighting going on. But in the spiritual world, everything is based on love. So therefore, this name of Krishna is completely a mantra of love. And it's meant to awaken our natural loving propensity that is in all of our hearts. Naturally, we have love. And in this world, we're trying to put our love in material things, material relationships. But unfortunately, in the end, we suffer instead of enjoying. But in the spiritual world, everyone is loving Krishna. And we also love Krishna. We have this natural love. And this mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, brings out that love, the natural love in the heart. And when we love Krishna, we love everyone, because Krishna is in everyone's heart. And everyone's connected. We're all connected, actually, as a spiritual family. So the power of this mantra is also to bring us together as a spiritual family. When we have when we realize we have the same father, then that means all of us are brothers and sisters. Everyone in this world. Not only the human beings, the animals also have the same father. The plants also have the same father. So therefore we're all brothers. Even with the plants, even with that plant, I think it's a live plant, yes. Even sometimes I don't know, when I go places they have artificial plants. But this is a real one. So that these plants are our brothers. Even the insects are our brothers. Even the trees out there and the ocean and people, all the animals, they're all our brothers. So this sound of Hare Krishna, let's say the mantra now, we all know it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this mantra can transform our life into a life of love. It can transform this whole world into a world of love. It can transform, has the power to transform this world into the spiritual world. And I can see that. I've traveled many places all over the world. And I see that people who are chanting Hare Krishna, they're accepting people from other countries, from other races, very easily, just on the basis of this chanting, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It causes real world unity. I see in India, I live in Vrindavan, which is the place where Lord Krishna appeared. And in Vrindavan, we have people from all the countries. In Mayapur, also, another spiritual place, where actually this Hare Krishna started from. We have people in our school. We have children from Russia, China, Brazil, France, all the countries of the world, Spain. And so the teachers have to teach them all English, because all the books are in English. But we see that this unity, and what is the unifying factor, is this chanting of Hare Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, that's all he had. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any support. He just had this Hare Krishna mantra. He went and he chanted in the park, and people started coming and becoming attracted to chanting and to practicing spiritual life. So, we've been talking about material sound. So, I would like to discuss a little bit about the difference between material sound and spiritual sound. Hare Krishna is a spiritual sound, it's transcendental, but we have also many material sounds around us. Who can give me an example of a material sound? The cars, okay, those cars out there, that's a material sound, right. What's another material sound? Yeah?
The clock ticking.
The clock ticking.
Where's the clock?
Oh, right. Okay, I don't need mine. Thank you. The clock ticking, okay? Yeah?
My mind.
Your mind. Yes, just imagine if we put your mind on a loudspeaker and everybody could hear what was going on in your mind. It would be quite interesting. Or put your mind on the internet and broadcast it. Now we have our internet. We have our internet technology. So we can do even better than a loudspeaker. We can put it our mind on the internet. And everybody can see what we are thinking. Would you like everybody to know what you're thinking all the time? No. It's not. That's material. Okay, what's another material sound? Material sounds. Yeah?
Television.
Television, yes. And especially the advertisements. When you hear these advertisements on TV, what does it do to you, actually? What happens to you when you hear it? Okay, some of you. Yeah, you want to get back to the program. Okay, it makes you annoyed. And what if you're, yeah. Yeah, you get some desire. I mean, for the product. My son was working as a salesman for a while, and he told me to sell something means to convince someone they need something they don't need, actually. Convince they don't need it, actually. Something that's a necessity. That's selling. And so that's so it makes you, it creates material desires. When you hear these material sounds, some of these sounds, they create desires in your heart or in your mind. I must have this thing. Some people are annoyed. Yes. Some people, they get desires. Some people might get depressed because they don't have the money to buy those things. So it may cause, but these are negative feelings. So this is, and what about the newspaper? How does that affect you if you read the newspaper sometimes? Yeah?
It gives lots of information about bad things that are happening usually.
Usually the bad news is there. We don't see the good news.
It doesn't give a way to solve it.
Yeah, it doesn't give a way to solve. There's a war here, there's a war there. And it doesn't make you feel good because it doesn't really help you in saying, well, this is the solution to the problem. So, this is the material sound. So the effect of the material sound is to bring you down, to make you depressed, make, give you material desires, or at best just to annoy you and to cause you annoyance. And in India, if you go to India, you won't just hear the cars, you'll hear the horns 24 hours a day, because that's the method in India. If you don't have a horn, because, I mean, the roads are not just for the cars. They're for anything else you can think of. They're for the cows, they're for the monkeys, they're for the, they're for the bullock carts, they're for the bicycles, even on the highways. And the worst thing is, they go the wrong direction on the highways. Because gas is cheaper on that side. I've been on buses where we go on the wrong side of the street, everyone's coming head on towards you. And I'm praying, you know, to Krishna. And I'm saying, why are you doing this? Oh, the gas is cheaper here. Petrol is cheaper on that side. Oh, so, yeah, driving in India is quite different. So they're using the horns all the time. So these are material sounds, and they give you great distress. They bring you down. So the best thing is to always try to hear spiritual sound, because that will elevate you, that will uplift you, that will enlighten you, that will make you happy. So what happens when we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that we connect to the spiritual world. It's a connection, just like internet. When you connect to internet, then you can connect to the whole world. But when you connect with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you can connect beyond this world to the spiritual world. Now what happens when you connect to the spiritual world? What is it like there? Everybody's eternal. You connect with eternity. Everybody's happy. You connect with great happiness, a reservoir of happiness. And it's full of knowledge. You can connect with complete knowledge. Not only that, if you need some intelligence, you can connect with an ocean of intelligence when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I have that experience in my life. That I started to teach Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very complicated book, very difficult. People are trying to understand it their whole lives. So I thought I needed a lot more intelligence so that I could teach it. And so what I would do is I would say a verse or two, and then I would chant Hare Krishna on my beats. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We'll say it again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes. So, when I would chant, after I would chant, then I would understand the verses. I would get all the intelligence to understand. One time I had to teach a very complicated, complex chapter on time. From the smallest fraction of a second, it was describing fraction of a second, up to the life of the engineer of this universe, Lord Brahma, who lives 311 trillion years. So it was from the smallest second up to that, and was going in all the different levels of time. So it was beyond me to understand that chapter. So what I did was, I read the whole chapter, and then I chanted on my beads, Hare Krishna, 16 rounds. And then I understood the chapter, and I made a whole big chart of all the different times, and the class was happy. You have understood it. It wasn't me, it was because I chanted. So if there's anything in the spiritual life that you don't understand, or if you have a question you'd like to ask, you just chant the holy name and the answer will come. It's very, very scientific. You connect. When you chant, you connect with all the answers. You connect with Krishna. You connect with the spiritual world. Then all your answers come, all your questions are answered. So that's my experience. Now this Hare Krishna mantra also cleans out our mind. As he says, the mind is a very difficult thing. It's a material thing most of the time. It does bring us down. Why does our mind bring us down? Because we've been connected, our mind has been connected to this material world for millions and billions of years. Of course, we only know the short time of our birth here. But we get information that the soul is eternal, and the soul has been passing through many, many births, many, many bodies, up to this present one. And not all of them are humans. So now we're very, very fortunate that we have this human body. In this body, we can get liberation. We can make a solution to all problems of life simply by chanting the holy name. So you can, if you study your mind, you will see it's like a camera. All day long, it's taking pictures of different people, different places, and sometimes it's even making judgments. Oh, I like this one. I don't like that one. And foods, movies, everything that you've ever seen with your eyes or heard with your ears or experienced, it's stored in the computer of your subconscious. And the mind is the one that brings it in, and the mind processes it. And sometimes it comes up into your mind, things that you have experienced from previous lives even may come in your mind. So therefore we have so many things in our mind, and most of them should be in the recycle bin. It should be actually push the delete button in your computer of your mind and it should go to the recycle bin. Now it's not so easy to do that because sometimes the mind just keeps going on one track and keeps bringing up the same thought. So what can you do? How can you empty all the garbage from your mind? That is by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra very quickly. The more you chant, the more garbage goes out of your mind. But then you shouldn't go and take more garbage and put it in. This is the thing. Don't watch more movies or TV. This will just serve to put more garbage there that then you have to clean it out the next day again. So we don't want to do that. We want to put in spiritual sights, spiritual sounds, spiritual food, and that will be very helpful. That will help the chanting. So the chanting itself is powerful enough to clean out all the garbage, but then we have also spiritual food, and we have our spiritual books. And we have, if you like to read, we have books. If you like to eat, we have food, spiritual food. Everybody likes to eat. And if you like to hear things, we have beautiful music. We can sing the Hare Krishna mantra or we can speak it. So I would like to also tell a little bit about my experience in chanting. I've been chanting for 40 years now. And it all started 40 years ago when I was a musician, and I was searching actually for spiritual life. I had read many books, and then I was trying many different processes and gurus and mantras also. And I came to the temple in Boston in 1970. And the devotees there told me, I said, well, okay, what's your process? And they said, you have to chant Hare Krishna, you have to dance, and you have to eat. So okay, let me try. Let me try this process. So I did that. I tried the chanting, and when I heard this sound, I understood it's not a material. It's not of this world, because I was a musician and I heard so many sounds and very selective sounds, very beautiful sounds, and I was always trying to communicate with the previous musicians who wrote the music. But I had never heard a sound like this. And so I started to chant, and then it just didn't go out of my mind. And then a few months later, I joined the temple. And then my first service was to chant morning to night, dancing on the streets, from 10 in the morning till 10 at night, 11 at night. And just by that experience, I felt so liberated just by doing that. that I didn't even know if I was sick or not. Somebody asked me one time, are you sick? I said, well, I don't know, actually. I said, either I have a fever or else I'm in ecstasy. I couldn't tell, actually, because I was so happy all the time. I couldn't tell whether I was here or there or where I was. I was just chanting and chanting to be happy, as you say, and I was very happy. And then that was like for about 6 months I did that. And then we were sent to another place in Florida, in the south, very further south. And so then the chanting, I was chanting every day. We have to chant a certain number of rounds for Hare Krishnas every day. I was doing that, and it became more like a duty. I must do this duty, I must chant. And that was also nice, because every day I was picking up my beads and I was chanting the mantra, and it was quite nice. But then after some years, I started thinking, well, there must be something more to this chanting. Let me see what else I can do here. And I found that through the years, so many relationships I had with this chanting, so many relationships came out. One relationship with the name was I found that if you're in a dangerous situation, if you chant, you get protection. So one time I was in a car accident, and the car has gone out of control. There was about four or five of us in the car. And the car is out of control, going this way and that way across the road. And so then we all started chanting Hare Krishna very madly, because there was nothing else we could do. The car is out of control, and we were safe. We went over a bridge, a small bridge. No, it wasn't a bridge. It was a ditch, like with cement on both sides. The car went over it, and we landed on the side of the road. And we were all okay, except my husband had the poor mile of the car, but I didn't have a scratch. And the chanting, we feel that the chanting saved us. Many times I have that experience. That was just one example. There are many examples I could give, but I don't want it to go on so long. So I found the holy name is my protector. And then, as I described before, the holy name is my guru, because sometimes I would have questions that I couldn't answer, and I would just chant and the answers would come like that. So I found the holy name is my guru. And what else? Oh, yeah, he's my companion, because now I have to go on the airplane so much. I just travel a lot. So when I'm waiting, in the departure lounge, I just sit and chant. And he's my companion. Krishna's with me. Then on takeoff, especially in landing, I chant, because I find it equalizes the pressure. And also, it's a dangerous time. And so one time we were landing in San Francisco, and we were just about to touch the ground, and then we took off. We aborted the landing. Oh, wow. So it was good I was chanting. And because there was another plane in the runway, if we had landed, we would have hit the plane. So it's always good to chant when you're flying in the airplane. It's quite nice. Very good for the mind. Very peaceful and relaxing. So I found that the holy name is my friend. And then one time, I was had a near-death experience. I went for a routine test, and I had to be put under anesthesia for 10 minutes. So, but what they did was give me an overdose of anesthesia, and so I was struggling. They said I couldn't breathe. I didn't know, because I was not conscious of the immediate situation, but I was conscious, and I was in a dark place, very dark, and I had lost all my memory. I didn't know who I was or what I was, even. I had no concept of personality. I was just if you turn off all the lights and it's all black, that's where I was. And so in that darkness, then all of a sudden I saw the holy name before me. And because I had the habit to chant, I just started chanting the name. And then all my memory came back, and I realized, oh, I'm a devotee. I'm a devotee of Krishna. And I'm chanting. This is the name of Krishna. And then I looked around and I said, but it looks like I lost my body. I have left my body here. I don't have a body. So how come I didn't go to the spiritual world? I was not very happy in that situation. I was very frustrated. I said, well, I'm a devotee, and how come I'm here in the void? You know, where there's all black. You know, why am I not? Where is everybody? And where is Krishna? And where is the devotees? And where's the spiritual world? And how come I'm here? So I was very frustrated. But anyway, I was chanting, so it was okay. So then I came back to consciousness, and I realized that, you know, the holy name is everywhere, even in the void. If you go to the void, or if you're unconscious, the holy name is there. It's everywhere. And another thing I realized was that because I had been teaching seminars on the holy name before that, I had taught about 7 japa workshops, and I realized that if you serve the holy name, if you chant the holy name nicely, even at the time of death, if you forget Krishna, if you forget, then Krishna won't forget you. He'll come. So I had that realization that sometimes you may come to the point of death and you may forget. It's a very difficult time. You may not have a control. Your memory may be taken away, as it was in my case. But the wonderful thing is that Krishna did not forget me. And he came in front of me in that time of forgetfulness. He came in front of me as the holy name in that form, so I could relate to him in that way. So this holy name is, of Krishna, is very, very valuable. And all of you should treasure it and take it and chant it. And you will definitely become uplifted in your life. It cleans the heart. It puts out the fire of anxiety of this material world. That we, just by working in this world, there's so many problems and anxieties. Even by just living in this world, there's so many problems. But this, by chanting this name, then you can be relieved of these problems. And also, it's spreading all over the world. It's and not only all over the world, it's spreading to our heart. That's where it needs to go. And change and transform our body into a spiritual body, into a body that is used in a spiritual way. That is the purpose of chanting the holy name, to transform our lives, to transform even our bodies, and our speech, and everything, to make it all spiritual. So this, and also a seeking of knowledge. As I said, any knowledge you want, you just chant the holy name, and you'll get it. You'll get inspiration. Because it's when you chant, you connect to the super soul. Just like my son, when he was 15 years old, he said to me, "You know, if I could talk to super soul, I wouldn't be bored anymore." And I said to him, "Yes, you can talk, you can connect, if you just chant Hare Krishna, chant the holy name, you can connect. It's a connection, it's a spiritual connection. And we all have access to it too, you don't have to go online. But online means to chant. You're online to the spiritual world. You're online, you have the connection. And you can make that connection, it's so wonderful in this age. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just chant anywhere, anytime. No rules. Even in the bathroom, even on the bus, even in the metro, even on the street. You can chant Hare Krishna. There's no rules. It's not like you have to take a bath and then chant. There's for Gayatri and other mantras, you do have to be clean. But for the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Mantra, you can just chant anytime or anywhere. And even a child can chant. You don't even have to be 12 years old, or 16 years old, or 18 years old. Even you can be 2 or 3. You can chant the holy name. Anybody can do it. Other yoga practices, pranayama, you cannot do until you're 12. And different yoga things are very difficult to do for old people or for young, small kids. Very difficult. But this Hare Krishna is for everyone. There is no restriction. Anybody can chant. So, are there any questions on this topic of the holy name? We have a few minutes left here. And yes?
Then you will have old connections from different things.
Old connections. Old.
Not good connections.
Not good connections, yes.
And who can finish the connection? It's connections from very old karma in wartime.
Yes, yes.
And killing people.
Yes.
Very bad karma.
Yes, very bad karma. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you just surrender to me, I will finish all your karma. So how do you do that? It's by chanting. The most powerful way to finish all your bad karma is by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra.
Very full power, very full light in my life.
So then,
not became in Germany, not became in New Zealand. I trying 25 to Paraguay.
Yeah. So
open game.
It's good to have a CD player. You have a CD player? You know, a CD to play. What do you call them? DVD, CDs?
CD player.
Yes.
I have no CD player.
No. No, you don't
have.
Okay, well, that's good. So, laptop. So, you get this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, and you play it 24 hours. And it will go inside. And it will clean. Even, you don't even have to chant all the time, but you just put it on the music. And let it go inside. And then the cleaning will start like that. More quickly.
I have not English. I feel a very, very big love from God, from the light, from the power, music. God's opener and opener for all.
Yes, so this Hare Krishna.
It's not more life English. I know the outer world is not foreign.
Yeah, English is not necessary. You just need this mantra. That's all you need. Just these 16 words. Put it on 24 hours. And the cleaning will go very fast of the old karmas. It will go very fast. If you do 24 hours just on your CD player, then you don't have, the work will be done just with the sound. The sound is powerful enough. Like that. Yes?
There's so many examples of people who chant really nicely and they get lots of knowledge.
Yeah.
And they get lots of happiness and blessings, but sometimes when we chant, we find that a little tiresome.
Right.
Or we feel.
Yes.
We can't get the knowledge. We feel.
Okay.
What are we doing wrong?
What are you doing wrong? Okay. The question is that sometimes some people they get it, but sometimes it's difficult, and we ourselves may sometimes be chanting for so many years. There was one devotee who said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, before I was a devotee, I think I had more good qualities, and now I became a devotee, and I see all the good qualities are there. And Prabhupada gave the example that suppose you have a very dirty house, and all the dust is lying there on the ground. So when you start cleaning, the dust starts to fly, and you see all the dust, and you think, oh my God, this is real, I'm really bad. I mean, you know, what is wrong with me? So you see the dust flying. So this is this level of where you kind of feel like, you know, you see more bad things, or else you're like stuck, or else it's like you don't feel like you have a taste. It's called anarta nivritti. It's that stage. So that stage can last for a long time, or it can be very quick. So the way to go beyond it, there's two things you have to do. One thing is to listen very attentively to the mantra. Try to focus your attention on hearing very carefully without any diversion. And the second thing is to avoid the offenses to the holy name. And this will bring you to the clearing stage very quickly. These are the two symptoms of someone who has gone beyond that. That he's very focused, he can hear every syllable of the mantra, and also he is free of offenses. And of course intention is the root of all the other offenses. So if we can just be attentive while we chant, that will be very helpful. You can try to chant one mantra at a time, you've heard that. Or you can try three in a row, four in a row. I had a breakthrough in chanting was when I was doing that practice, but then I was doing it, I was trying to do it at 5 minutes at a time without just hearing very nicely. And then it was very wonderful. Within 5 minutes, I would just see the difference. And it was the connection went through. actually. It's like you're making a phone call to the spiritual world. And hello, hello, hello. And finally it goes through. And then you're just flabbergasted. Well, now what? Krishna's on the other line. Now what do I say? What do I do? So then I wrote this whole poetry book, you know, of what was happening to me at that point when I started transforming because of the whole meal. And everyone can do it. It's just a matter of, you have to keep trying. There are dry times, and that is a test from Krishna as well. So like the first thing I wrote was, Krishna, are you there? I guess I wasn't quite sure, you know. Was that you on the phone there at the other side? Or, I mean, are you really there for me? And so you start to wonder these things sometimes after many, many years. But then, if you really want to hear him, if you really want to hear, then you have to chant attentively, avoid offenses. I found it just in the attentive chanting that everything came. Yes?
What would happen to someone if he, he or she chants all his life until the day he dies but never get initiated or do any other services?
Okay, what if you just chant Hare Krishna and don't get initiated and don't do other services? Okay, well, it's quite possible you can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death. But for one who gets initiated at the time of death, then the guru is there in case you didn't do everything, you know, 100%. Like you can chant Hare Krishna, but there might be still a little bit of attachment here and there. So then the guru will step in and say, okay, it's all right, Krishna, you please take him. But if you just go on your own, then you're just more like a yogi or like these kind of people who say, I do everything myself. I don't need help from anyone. So it'll be a little bit more difficult for you if you don't have a guru. It'll be a bit more difficult because the guru can guide you, and he has the power to make up for all the things that you didn't do in this life. He can give a good word, you know, to Krishna for you. You may chant the holy name, but he'll say, okay, Krishna will say, well, who has recommended you to me now? Where's your recommendation? You need a recommendation to get in to the spiritual world as well. So who is recommending you? So, well, me? Who are you? Who are you, actually? Yes. Oh, yeah. And he takes the load. The guru, at initiation, he accepts all your past karma. He wipes it clean. That's a benefit. That's a very good benefit. The guru will take all of your past karma on himself at the time of initiation. Now, whatever you do after that, that's yours. But he can also put a good word in for you as far as that goes. But yes, the guru, it's his duty to take your karma at the time of initiation. Take those reactions. Yes?
What about someone that is trying to come this year? I just cannot become good enough to get initiated.
Mm-hmm. So you will come back and continue where you left off. Next life, you will get initiated then. Maybe, okay, this life you go to a certain extent. It's not lost in your next life. Next life, you could be, if you chant in this life, next life you'll be fortunate to take birth like one of these children in the family of devotees. Chant from your birth, you'll be hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. Then that will be the result. So there's great benefit in chanting. Even if you don't make it to initiation, it's okay. If you go 50% this life, you start 51 next life. That's it's not lost. But if you become an engineer in this life, it's all 100% lost next life. Or whatever you do. Engineer, or school teacher, or doctor. Any of these things is lost at the time of death. You don't become a doctor in this life, or musician, or whatever. You lose it all at death. But the spiritual is what you take with you. It's the only thing you take with you. Your good and bad deeds, that's what you take with you at the time of death. So the spiritual life, as much as you chant, then that will be still in your bank account for your next life.
How do I overcome the thoughts that I'm not good enough, that I'm not going to be qualified?
How do you overcome? You associate with devotees and you chant Hare Krishna. And they will help you. The devotees will help you and to show you the benefits of. I mean, that's why you need a guru. Because you're not qualified to go by yourself. Then the guru can help you become qualified. He can help you get the qualification before going to the spiritual world. He can help you. Yes? Okay. You know who your guru is. So there's many choices you have in ISKCON. And the guru is the one who you have faith can take you to the spiritual world. That's the main thing. But this person can help me, can guide me in all aspects of my life. Whoever I may be, this person can actually help me, can uplift me in whatever situation I may be. Can uplift me in a spiritual way. So that's the main thing. And then it's also good to be in tune with your guru's service. Every guru has a different service to Prabhupada. One may be writing books, one may be one is an actor, I know, a dramatist, is Bhakti Marg Swami, if you like acting. Another one is doing some chanting the holy name, like Loknath Swami. And then there's Raghunath Swami, who takes people on pilgrimage everywhere and talks about, he's also into the holy name. And there's like different gurus, and you see they have different personalities. So not only should you have faith in them, but you must also be able to identify with the service they have for their spiritual master and be able to support them or help them in that service if need be. In the way that they are serving Srila Prabhupada. You should identify, and also with your personality, there should be a personality, you should be able to relate to their personality. Some gurus may be very withdrawn, and you may not be able to relate. And some people like that. They would rather not have such a close relationship. They just would rather write to their gurus. And like that. So it depends on your personality as well. And also you should look for good qualities in the guru. You look in Bhagavad Gita, see what are the good qualities. How steadiness, devotion to Srila Prabhupada, dedication, and ability to help people. Good qualities. So then when you are satisfied, and then after that you said, okay, here's somebody that I have faith in. And once you've got an idea of somebody, then for 1 year at least you should test that person and make sure, okay, this is the one. You know, give them questions about your life, ask what to do, give them a lot of questions, and see if he can actually help you or she, whatever. That person can help you. Yeah.
I'm just further on to that question. What happens when someone accepts a guru, but later on they realize that they actually don't have faith in that person, but there is someone who they do have faith in?
Yeah.
So is it the initiation of faith or the activity to take initiation?
Well, you have to have faith to take initiation, first of all. But then if that happens, then it's okay to have Shiksha gurus. And the Shiksha guru may be the one who is actually going to take you to Godhead. It may not be the Diksha guru. Maybe. And there's many cases of the devotees who take initiation from one guru and then they realize, oh, actually, that person is giving me more inspiration and helping me a lot more. And then it's good to take permission from the Diksha guru and then you get Shiksha from. There's many cases like that. And they're all, a lot of them are friends, so it's, you know, whoever can help, they're happy. They're happy if somebody else can help you. So if they can't help you, then good with it, fine with them. A lot of, they're all brothers and sisters. So. Okay, I think time is up. Time for prasadam. Or Kirtan.
We usually have a little more Kirtan.
Okay.
If you want to do Kirtan.